So we set out two goals for the committee, and the first was to talk about the laws we could exempt ourselves from and whether or not that would be in the best interest of our students. That was our number one goal. So anytime a subcommittee veered somewhere, they were directed to go back to the goal and say, is this or is this not good for our kids? And that's how we grounded that work. The second point or goal was to generate ideas that could make us innovative or could make us better, move faster, get things done quicker. But we recognize those as two separate goals, and one would not necessarily lead to the other unless we were intentional. I think Brandon Brim's wife would like this particular slide because there's a circle in words. I was endeavoring to find a slide that she would approve of. This was our DOI committee makeup as the board ordained it. We tried to get a very diverse body for our committee. Some districts have just had the superintendent's cabinet serve as the committee, and others have done different things. We went big. Our initial committee had over 100 members. It included university officials. We had Tarrant County Community College and TCU professors there for the entire process. We invited Rotary members and the mayor and all sorts of people. Teachers and teacher orgs were that light blue chunk. We had as many parents as we had teachers. Then we also had some central administrators, campus administrators, and then every trustee was allowed to nominate one or two members of the public they wished to be on the committee. We had a couple of board members who were a little skeptical. I won't say negative, but they were skeptical. And our way of making sure their voices continued to be, at least to resonate within the committee, was by having them nominate people they thought was aligned to what they believed. So it was a large group initially. This was what the initial meeting looked like. It was in the largest built room we have in the district, and it was chaos. So from the ground level, we knew we needed to explain to everybody in the room what the regulatory environment was, why it was important to look at laws and whether or not we could exempt ourselves from them. So we had to explain what laws were and how those built legal policies and then what local policies looked like above that. And there are a lot of myths within schools, particularly from teachers I've found, that things they have heard over time are law. So we did a lot of myth breaking on, no, that's a campus rule, or no, that's an administrative regulation, and we already have control over that, which led to a lot of good conversations about, if this is an issue, why haven't we fixed it? We need that information so we can back that up, because if it is an administrative regulation or a local policy, we already had local control. So we found some of those, but also really digging into law. Many of our members had never looked at a legal policy, much less a law, so there was a lot of groundwork to be done in that first meeting. And we undertook that in September of 2016. So we were almost a year-ish outside of District of Innovation being a thing. And then we all go, what the heck is that? And spent about a year figuring out, what the heck is that? And then we endeavored. We broke into four subcommittees. We allowed self-selection into those committees as long as we maintained a pretty good balance of those different subgroups. So they focused on employee-focused areas like Chapter 21 rights, classroom standards and interventions, calendar and mandatory class size, and then student discipline. All of those subcommittees were led by quote-unquote subject matter experts who helped stay focused on the goal and geared that conversation and also just get them any resources they needed. Those subcommittees met for over a month. Some of the topics that we had them talking about, or exemption areas, they didn't get out of subcommittee. So much like a bill gets to be a law, they never even made it out of committee. But some did and went to the larger group for voting. Voting was interesting as well. By this point in the process, about half of the committee had dropped out. It's a lot of work. So we were down to 50-ish by the time we got to the voting meeting. In that bottom left corner, you'll see people presenting their committee's work. We had mostly teachers and parents presenting and explaining why they believe the exemption was good for our students. And we did it all by anonymous written ballot, so people felt free to vote however they chose. They did have to select which group they represented, and I'll tell you why in a second. That top picture is one of my favorite pictures that's ever been taken in Keller ISD for a couple of reasons. All of our meetings were also open to the public. So if you were a committee member, you had an assigned table area, and if you just wanted to come watch, we had tables set up across the back so you could come and be like listen and be part of the process. This gentleman right here is one of our favorite UEA representatives, and he came to every meeting faithfully and had a lot to say, and we love him for that. One of his members had some questions in the middle of the voting process, so she texted him to come to her table, and then he spent the rest of the meeting kneeled beside her like that, which couldn't have been comfortable. But while that was going on, my superintendent was on that other side, and he appears to be praying over the whole process. In complete transparency, that one night was a rather, we call it a breakthrough moment, but there was a lot of crying at that voting meeting. It was an emotional meeting.